You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last night, Boris Johnson visited the Queen at her Balmoral estate to hand over his formal resignation after former Foreign Secretary Liz Truss was elected by members of the Conservative Party to replace him as the next Prime Minister of the UK. To find out who Liz Truss is and what Britons think about her appointment, I spoke to Neil Curtis from the University of Auckland.
Well, she was really known as a disciple of Boris Johnson, really. She was one of the biggest vocal supporters of him. Her background is quite interesting. Her parents were both Labour activists, and she claims that she became a Conservative due to her experience at school, where she realised how many young people were struggling in that environment. But the strange thing was, if you check her age, the Conservative Party were in government at the time, so I'm not quite sure why that would convert somebody to Conservatism. But yes, she was basically a disciple of Boris Johnson, and that's where she got her. That's why she was so elevated, because she hasn't displayed much competence in the past. So.
And in the UK, there's usually 5 years between elections, and unless a snap election is called, she will be Prime Minister until at least 2024. And given that she was elected not by UK voters, but by only 57% of Tory party members, how are British people feeling about her appointment?
Well, I would think that given the current crises, not just one, but many crises that the country's experienced, I would imagine the population is not very happy. I know the Conservatives are seen in a poor light by most people in the country. Unfortunately, the population is very used to this situation where leaders resign for whatever reason, a new leader is elected, and they automatically become Prime Minister. I mean, it happened going back to Gordon Brown when Tony Blair resigned, and there's plenty of earlier precedents. I think John Major became the Prime Minister when Thatcher resigned. He later won an election. So it's one of these strange things that happens in the UK that people are accustomed to. But you're right, the new Prime Minister has effectively been selected by about 100,000 Conservative Party members. I'm not exactly sure what the number is, but I think there's something like 220,000 members or something like that. This shouldn't happen. I mean, the law needs to be changed where the resignation of the Prime Minister immediately brings around a general election, you know, but that's the way the law works, and it's profoundly anti-democratic, and it seems like she's going to continue with a fairly anti-democratic agenda. I think she's going to go after labour rights and human rights, so they want to withdraw from the European Commission for Human Rights, and they want to bring in legislation that bans striking and things like that. So it's a fairly anti-democratic agenda that the country's facing, but that follows on from what Johnson was doing.
Yeah, and she will be the fourth Tory Prime Minister in just 6 years. Is she fundamentally different in any way to the previous three, or should we just expect more of the same?
I can't see her being fundamentally different. I think she's going to continue this shift in the Conservative Party towards the hard right, if not what we might even call today the alt-right. Right? There's certain quite extreme views within the Conservative Party now. I know, you know, one of the things they're going to use is a sort of an anti-woke agenda. I mean, what Boris Johnson did, he got elected through a very xenophobic and largely racist agenda that sort of presented the myth of Great Britain, some imperial Victorian past, you know. And I think they're going to do something similar by trying to sort of scapegoat certain minorities. I know very sort of anti the trans agenda. Braverman, who's just been appointed to the cabinet in a new position, I mean, she was particularly vocal about a sort of an anti-woke agenda. So, I mean, they're quite different from Cameron, who started this all off. I mean, his complete failure and lack of courage to stand up to the hard right of his party led to the Brexit referendum and the sort of self-harm that was the Brexit vote. And gradually they've just drifted further and further right. And she's just an example of this. So I think she's quite weak. So I think she's going to play even further to the hard right. She's basically a politician that's going to do the bidding of, you know, hard right newspapers like The Telegraph, The Mail, The Express, The Times. She's just going to appeal to them and hope they can pump out enough propaganda that's going to shore her premiership up, you know.
And she models herself on Margaret Thatcher. Why does she do this? Are people nostalgic for the Thatcher days?
Yeah, you got to remember that Thatcher is still an idol and an icon within the Conservative Party for her revolutionary policies. I mean, she established this whole neoliberal agenda, which was profoundly antisocial, anti-government, anti-public, all in terms of the individuals, the private. And, you know, we've seen the effects of that. The people at the top have become richer and richer. The most important aspect of that political agenda, I think, is unaccountability. So the criticism of the state was all about deregulation, which was supposed to be to improve competition, but really it was about making corporations and very wealthy people less and less accountable. And of course, they're not anti the state per se. They just want all the functions of the state put in the hands of individuals and corporations. And on the back of deregulation, they want all of that unaccountable and non-transparent, which unfortunately for them, a proper democratic process makes people accountable. So I think that's where they're at. I think they're trying to complete the Thatcher project, which is turn everything over to the private realm. And they have an ideologue in power now who's prepared to do that. Of course, the reason why she won is because that Rishi Sunak was not prepared to immediately dole out tax cuts, because he rightly acknowledged that the economy couldn't handle it. So Liz Truss is prepared to do that. And of course, that has been the mission of Thatcher and Thatcherites since 1979, is to continue to move money upwards. She still believes in trickle-down economics, which is about as insane as most of the conspiracy theories that are believed by Voices for Freedom and all those people that were protesting with tin hats on down in Wellington. So trickle-down economics is just insane. It never was economics. It was always a political project about just moving wealth upwards. But she still is an advocate of that. So that's why she was elected. And yes, she loves Margaret Thatcher. She cosplays Margaret Thatcher in regular appearances. It's almost laughable, but really it's not very funny.
And I'd just like to take an amazing quote from your piece in Newsroom yesterday, where you say that the real meaning of truss as a politician is in the surgical device used to support a hernia. Could you just explain what you mean by this?
Yeah. I don't know. I was, you know, somebody suggested I write something, so I tried to sort of take some inspiration from the name. And I also said that she likes to think of herself as a truss, as in a something that supports a roof, right, that sort of protects and secures, but really it's about moving everything up to the top, and she's creating a roof that's too heavy. But the other meaning of a truss is something that it is actually a surgical support. You know, if you rupture a muscle in your abdomen and part of your insides protrude through it, you wear a truss to prevent that from happening. And it just seems like so many of the myths have burst. You know, the neoliberalism as a myth is on its last legs. This sort of vision of a great white imperial Britain has burst. And she's there, this kind of cosplaying Thatcher wannabe, has been elected to try and, you know, prevent that burst from being completely catastrophic for the body politic. And it just seemed that that was the most perfect way of describing her and the process, what she's all about, what the Conservative Party's about, and the state of the country. It's my country in a sense, because I came from there. I'm British, you know, so I still have an interest in the place. But it's just terrible what's happened and what's happening, you know. So that's why I used that metaphor, because I think it's perfectly apt. Everything's bursting, and it burst, and they're just desperately trying to patch it up with some nostalgic throwback to the Iron Lady or something ridiculous. I mean, it's I don't know. It's almost unimaginable how absurd British politics has become. So that's why I wrote that. I don't think you can take it. It's serious, right? But I don't think we can. We must treat it seriously, because we mustn't give it legitimacy. We mustn't talk about it in some kind of objective, dispassionate way, right? Because if we give giving legitimacy to this stuff is part of the problem, right? So that's why I wrote what I did.
That was Neil Curtis from the University of Auckland chatting to me about the UK's new Prime Minister, Liz Truss.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.